Powered by Reb Media in partnership with TSN, it is Season 5, and this is Episode 27 of the Rain Dregs Hockey Podcast, and it is presented by our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, who introduced the first release of the delicious Canadian Club Invitation Series, CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask, the signature CC Classic 12-year-old whiskey, finished with a secondary aging in Oloroso Sherry Cask. There's Ray Ferraro in BC. Here I am in beautiful Brooklyn, Ontario, Canada, which isn't that beautiful, Ray. I'm not complaining. You know, it's December 29th as we record this episode. It's like 10 degrees Celsius. You know, I look forward to the annual, you know, backyard rink extravaganza on Christmas Eve. Somebody pointed it out, and it is very, very true. It's almost like it was bearing witness to some of the global warming issues that we continually hear about and read about, right? And all of that, man. Like, I used to have a, you know, I kind of had an unwritten rule. I wouldn't retweet, you know, a backyard rink that was just a puddle of water. People don't want to see that. They want to see the kids out on the ice and that sort of thing. Didn't have a choice this year. There were so few submissions because, you know, almost globally speaking, you know, if you're not in Scandinavia or northern Saskatchewan, you know, you're kind of in a tough spot. So anyway, aside from that, it was a good holiday. How about you?
It was a great holiday for us. I tweeted out a picture, like I played golf on the 23rd.
That was awesome.
It was like Landon called and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing here? I'm driving my wife crazy because they were expecting a baby at any time, their first." And he said, "She's tired of me asking, is anything going on? Is anything, how you feeling?" And so he said, "Do you want to go play?" And I was like, "Geez, yeah, I guess." Like, I hadn't even thought of it. And it was beautiful, but it's the same thing. It's like, yeah, we should not be on the course in, like, not a rain jacket on the 23rd. And so went out and played on the 23rd. And then in the morning on the 24th, I'm sitting in the kitchen and Landon pops in. He goes, "Yeah, we're just going to the hospital." And so I go upstairs, I get Cammy. She never gets out of bed like in a half a second. Yeah. She was downstairs dressed in like 12 seconds. And so we sent them off to the hospital or watched them leave. And then at 5:40 on the 24th, we, Landon and Emily, had their little guy, Luca.
Awesome.
And, so we're super excited. They're back home. Mom and baby are great. And I don't know when the last time you've held a real baby is, Drake.
Scares the bejesus out of me.
They're so tiny and they're so light. Yeah. And then you hear that little little peep or whatever.
And you're like, take him.
Yeah, nope. And the other thing we did find is Ollie needs a little work with the baby. He's not very happy with this attention grabber.
Interesting.
You know, so yeah, brand new one. So he's not quite 5 days old yet.
Love that. Luca Ferraro.
Yes, absolutely.
Whether it's soccer or hockey or whatever the sport of choice, if you're Gord Miller or you're a play-by-play announcer, that's going to be tremendous. And Luca Ferraro.
that's a winner. So, last night I'm going to the Canucks game and, I realized they were just waiting for the birth certificate to be produced. but they weren't really, you know, what are you doing with the names and all that? And so it's Luca Raymond, Ferraro. It took me a second. I'm reading the birth certificate. I'm like, "Oh yeah. I got the weight and the date and all that stuff." And then I'm like, "Oh, that's me." I was like, sometimes I'm not so sharp. So,
wow, congratulations really awesome. To the Ferraro clan from all of us. That's terrific. What a Christmas and what a Christmas present. Fantastic.
Thank you.
We've got the O-Dog, one of the two O-Dogs, by the way, involved in the World Junior Hockey Championship. Right. Jeff O'Neill is going to join us today, and we'll talk about the World Juniors with Canada set to play Sweden. So what a battle that's going to be. And, you know, if you're listening to this after the game, then you're listening to it after the game. There's no choice. We've got to get rolling here. So interested to hear what Jeff's thoughts are on Team Canada along with your own. And also we'll look around the NHL. But let's dive into the Tim Hortons headlines, Ray.
Yep.
brought to you, of course, by Tim Hortons, where their holiday merchandise is still available. How about that Snowy Timbits Night 500-piece puzzle? You've got the new year right around the corner. Still some time to sit down and do a high-quality puzzle, Ray. Or the new limited edition Tim Hortons Winter Blend Fine Grind Coffee or the Candy Cane Hot Chocolate Mix. It's still available only at Tim's. I thought we'd have some fun being that this will be the last podcast, I believe, for 2023. We haven't really mapped out next week, but I think
it's the 29th. I think we're pretty well out of days, aren't we?
Well, what if we need an emergency pod? There could be something that's breaking. Maybe the Leafs make a big trade or the Canucks or the Oilers or any of the
Canadians. Well, there you go. I wasn't thinking of that.
No. All right. Well, speaking of Edmonton, why don't we start? At least, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong. It doesn't have to be the top story. It's a collection of the best stories in hockey in 2023. Right. And best doesn't mean good, but in this case, it does. The Connors. And we're talking about McDavid and Bedard. Let's start with Connor McDavid. And when I think of 2023, I'm talking about last season, not the start of the 23-24 season. So McDavid is what, 153 points, 64 goals last season before the disappointment of losing in the playoffs to the Vegas Golden Knights. But your recollection of that year and what it meant to McDavid, but kind of to the sport in general.
I believe it injected more energy and more focus and more wow than had previously been there, because he was doing something that just seemed like we hadn't seen forever. And the ease at which the points were going on the board, the historic nature of that Oilers power play, like, it just seemed like he was doing whatever he needed to do or whatever he wanted to do. Yeah. It was just amazing to watch. And I'm always blown away that when I see somebody in the NHL do something way better than everybody else, that blows me away. It's different if you're watching a peewee game and you got, wow, that kid's better than all the other kids. I mean, these are the best players in the world. And, oh, here's one that's way better than everybody else. It's I just thought it was so fun to watch him play.
All right, Connor Bedard, first pick overall, of course, by the Chicago Blackhawks. Man, when you talk about a player, an individual rejuvenating an organization, the Chicago Blackhawks on ice needed something. Off ice, the fan base needed something. And that something is a young developing superstar in Connor Bedard, an 18-year-old who shouldn't have the confidence to do what he's doing in the NHL.
I don't think I saw him being able to beat goalies like he does, because I thought, like, I know he's got an incredible shot. Like, I've seen it. I've seen it live. I've seen it live when he was a little kid and, you know, as he grew up. And I thought the goalies would be able to catch up to it, at least at the start.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the other way around. It's like he's in front of the goalies. Like the way that he releases the puck, the way that he shoots it. The goal he scored the other night in Chicago in overtime. I put it out, just my thought was like the deception on the shot and the velocity of the shot. I mean, he didn't beat a Scrabini in goal there. That's Connor Hellebuck from 30 feet. And whether it was tipped a bit or not, watch his hands. They look like they're going left. And everything else goes the other direction. Like it's just crazy to watch him shoot the puck. And just think how many goals he'd have if the Blackhawks power play wasn't so terrible.
I mean,
right? Like he'd probably have another four or five.
Probably.
I said at the start of the year, my thought was 30 goals, 70 points. And I mean, what's he got? 32 points in 34 games right now. It's electrifying to watch him play.
Yeah. You wonder about the wear and tear on a young body like that, because there's just a completely different physicality to the game at that level. But what we've seen has been truly remarkable. So,
whatever we wonder about is going to play out this year. He's 18 years old and he's not going to go unscathed through the year. Like he's going to have a zero goal and 10 game thing somewhere along the line. And so what? I mean, he's shown already that all the talk going into the draft that all the talking heads babbled on about is right. I mean, the kid is a special player.
Hmm. And we'll talk about another special player, Macklin Celebrini, coming up with Jeff O'Neill on the podcast, 17-year-old star for Team Canada, man. What an influence he's been. But let's look back at the sixth season to the Vegas Golden Knights in the National Hockey League. And I guess we shouldn't say, I won't say that I'm surprised that they won the Stanley Cup, just given how they launched into the NHL. But what they finished in the playoffs last year, 16-6, just flatlined a number of teams, including Florida, in that process in the Stanley Cup final. So your thoughts on just how dominant a year that was and how well it ended for the Golden Knights.
We'll start right back to the day that they were awarded the team, and their owner, Bill Foley, said, 6 years, I want to win the Stanley Cup. And everybody went, yeah, good one, Bill. And 6 years later, he's standing on the ice with the Stanley Cup over his head. I go back to that team as well, because no matter what anyone in media says, I think it is 100% revisionist history that when that team was picked, that people thought that they got too many players. Because when that team was picked,
yeah,
I remember it from the first day, because I thought the same as everybody said, it looks like a pretty good team. It sure as hell better than Atlanta. Yeah. Sure as heck better than Minnesota. But nobody thought that was a Stanley Cup contender. Nobody. And if anyone says they is, please post where you said it, because I'd like to see it, because I never did see it. Mm-hmm. And then they just became so bold in everything they did. That was the culmination of about 15 big swings that the Vegas Golden Knights made over the course of their young history. And when they made the trade for Eichel, it seemed to be a bit risky, given, you know, he needed the surgery and how was he going to come back, and nobody in hockey had had this surgery before. And they missed the playoffs, and then the next year they win the cup. It's like they're big and fast and mean, and they got good goaltending, and Bruce Cassidy gets fired in Boston. They hire him. He seems to be the right guy at the right time. And they were a juggernaut through the playoffs last year. And man, Jack Eichel led the team in scoring. He had 66 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're going to have guys with way better numbers this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, as they go into the playoffs, and just a remarkable story, a well put together story. And there's Vegas. They'll go into the playoffs as defending cup champs.
Yeah. So mentally well challenged and conditioned too. Right. So they're coming out of a mini losing slump. You think they're bothered by it? Yeah, of course they are, because they're professional athletes. Nobody wants to lose, but not bothered in the sense that, the wheels are starting to wobble here. They knew coming into this year that it was going to be the highs and the lows, because that's what managing the year is all about.
Yeah. It's just like I said about Bedard. I think he's going to have a 0-goal-in-10-game thing coming up. The Vegas just lost 4 in a row. They won last night. Who's going to go through unscathed? Oh, Boston did last year, and then they got booted in the shins. Like, literally, the Bruins, I can't even remember. I don't think they lost 3 in a row last year. I don't know how they could have. They had 125 points. But then, the season's too long for any team, to go through smooth sailing. It can't happen. And it didn't for Vegas. They lose their 4. Now they win again, and they're probably back on the beam again.
All right, as we continue to drift here through 2023 in the Tim Hortons headlines, Ray, Mike Babcock returns to the National Hockey League. He's hired and then, more or less fired by the Columbus Blue Jackets amid scandal. Never stepped foot on the bench. We could have predicted that maybe there was going to be some internal turmoil with the Columbus Blue Jackets with Babcock as the head coach. I mean, he's that kind of defining character personality as far as NHL head coaches go.
Right.
No chance we could have predicted how this thing completely unraveled.
No, I think there was a surprise that he was hired in the first place, being in Columbus. I think maybe the thought was he would be with an older team. If he were to come back, it would be more of a veteran team, maybe a team further down the road that needed a bump up the road, something like that. I for sure was surprised it was Columbus. And when the first story broke, you're like, well, what am I missing here? Like, you know, like, cause you know, there's little tidbits of this story and that story. And, you know, and then as it moved from one day to the next, it was like, oh, this is not getting better.
No.
And I mean, they didn't have a choice, and it was I don't even know what to call it, a catastrophic blunder. Like what was he thinking, sort of thing. And Columbus, what was it, 2 days before camp, has to fire him and elevate Pascal Vincent, who they had looked past twice in a coaching search. It was a whirlwind, a slop around them, and really they just haven't recovered.
Yeah. I mean, arguably the most bizarre story of 2023, yeah. No doubt about that. In that sort of realm, though, was the Ottawa ownership transition. Right. You know, what a roller coaster that turned out to be. You had Hollywood star Ryan Reynolds, who was publicly campaigning. And I mean, he juiced the process, didn't he, by joining the Remington Group in their quest to buy the Ottawa Senators. Now, ultimately, Reynolds and that group backed out, and Michael Andlauer successfully purchased the Ottawa Senators. And it gave everyone in Ottawa maybe a deeper sense of stability. But again, just a weird thing to map out as it went from one kind of group to the other group. Over to Andlauer, we need more money, all of those things.
Yeah, and then Snoop Dogg showed up at some point in that whole process, and it was like it was a wild thing to follow. And
yeah,
the crazy part is they're not even at the stability yet.
No, not
because quite. Shortly after taking over, they've got to fire Pierre Dorion, the general manager. Then they've got to fire DJ Smith. So you've got the president, who's now the interim GM, an advisor who's now the interim coach, and most people expect that there is a relatively quick uptick in Ottawa coming because they have lots of good young players, but they're not even at the stability part yet. And then I'm reading about, you know, upgrades to the Canadian Tire Center, and if they were to stay or if they were to go, but it might not be to the LeBreton. I'm like, oh my gosh, man, is this like, are they ever going to get to the end of this thing? But it's a lot of work for Andlauer and Steos and his group, and to get to them into position to own the thing was just a wild story. It was fun to follow, I'll tell you that.
Well, and speaking of fun to follow, let's end the Tim Hortons headlines with this: the PWHL. Professional Women's Hockey League. What a shot in the arm for women's hockey globally, right? That all of these pieces came together with great leadership. And here we are with a six-team league: Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa, Boston, Minnesota, and of course, New York City has a franchise. We have sold out buildings to kick off 2024. And I, for one, am looking forward to it. Mostly, you know, to see how the hockey world embraces women's hockey once and for all. Good, bad, or otherwise, we're going to find out. But at least they've got a stage now to play on.
Well, the first part of that was the two leagues trying to come to some kind of agreement to get started. The real important part was the backing and the funding by the league's ownership, by Billie Jean King and her group. And the women just want a place to play, and they want it to be organized and recognized and available. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get all of those things. And here's the thing. Some people aren't going to like it, so don't watch. There's going to be a whole bunch of people that are going to like it, and they're going to watch.
Yeah.
And the league had no chance until it had the stability of ownership. We just talked about it with Ottawa. They had no chance until there was stability of ownership. The women's league had no chance.
Right.
Until the ownership came in, the leadership is now in place, and now they're at the starting line. Whatever's happened behind that really doesn't matter anymore. They're at the starting line, and there'll be some great stuff. The sold out buildings to start. There'll be a stub of the toe here and there.
Sure.
But every league has it. And all they want to do is, all the women want to do is be judged on their play. And now they have a professional outlet for it to play. And it will be outstanding for the women's game. There's no question. It will be an amazing thing for the women's game.
I'm with you, man. I mean, the corporate support is there. The broadcast support is there. So all women have ever asked for is opportunity, right? Equal opportunity from a hockey perspective, and they now have that. All right, those are your Tim Hortons headlines. Our interviews on Rain Dregs are brought to us by Canadian Club Whiskey, who have welcomed the first release of the Canadian Club Invitation Series CC 15-year-old Sherry Cask. All the hallmarks of classic Canadian Club with the added richness and sweetness of sherry. All right, there he is from the confines of just outside Studio 6 at TSN. That is Jeff O'Neill, who's working double, almost triple duty during the holiday season because of the World Juniors. So we're recording this, just getting ready for Canada and Sweden, obviously a huge game. So take us through your prep. And I think Ray can appreciate this more than anyone, given his history at the World Juniors. Are you making calls? Are you connecting with your contacts in Sweden? Are you poring over video? What's the typical game day ritual for the O-Dog?
Well, I think if I was truthful, they might not have me back on the panel next year, Greg's. But it's kind of the same for me every year, and it's kind of what I don't like and what I like about the tournament. I cover the NHL and I do overdrive in the Leaf games throughout the year. I don't have time to be watching junior hockey every night and checking in on these guys and what this roster is going to be, but it's what I like about it. It's the steady build for me, because I think when you kind of get good as an analyst, or you try to be good as an analyst, it takes two pre-tournament games and you kind of know what's up. You know who the game breakers are, you know what the defense is like, and you just kind of start to know the players, and every line kind of gains their own identity. And then come game one, it's like you feel like you've been watching these kids for a year and a half. So it's watching the pre-tournament games. I mean, if you're not in television or doing what we do, you're probably over there scouting all the guys that I know. You place a couple calls and ask a couple questions, and you pretty much get what you need.
Well, I'll tell you, since I'm not doing the tournament anymore, I've got it on in the background and I'm trying to get your ass imprint off my counter from the last Christmas party we had.
Oh, nice.
I was thinking about those sliders the other day, Ray. Or the lack of them when Frank Saravelli got a hold of them. It was that was still a memorable Christmas party. Speaking about Vancouver, I think this year's team, Ray, is kind of like that team in Vancouver where they got some real talented players, but I don't know if they're going to, you know, run the table. It might be like a quarterfinals. And that Canada team in Vancouver, I thought they could have won the gold medal, but they lost in the quarterfinals and they didn't even advance after that. So that might be the scenario that these guys find themselves in, where they've got quality players, but come medal time or elimination time, it might be a power play, it might be a goaltender. You never know. It's going to be a kind of a flip the coin and see what happens once it gets to go time.
Now, of course, you won a gold medal in the World Juniors. It was different then, the format of the tournament. And how many years is this, though, you've done this now?
I got my little piece of paper. It's 7 World Junior tournaments. But as soon as I see the paper, James always says to Bob, "Is this your 35th? And he's like, "Yeah, it's my 35th. So 7 doesn't seem like a whole lot.
Yeah. So, and Bob says it with such joy too, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He'll always tack on a couple too that he wasn't part of TSN that he did for someone else or something. So it's actually like 37.
That's remarkable. I was going to ask you, though, like when you watch it now, do you watch the tournament different? Like, because you're 7 years in, like, we've seen Canada do great. We've seen them flame out in the quarterfinals. We've seen them, you know, kind of have a tournament where you think they're going to roll through and they do. Like, each tournament's so different. I always found that kept it interesting for me. And I'm just curious if you watch it any different than you might have when you started.
I would say a little bit, Ray. I think you kind of get a read on them just through the buildup and, you know, what Bobby's talking about leading up to the tournament. I mean, last year, you know, there's always surprises. It's like you knew Bedard was good last year. It's like he's going to be the guy to watch, but I didn't know I was going to watch what I watched. I mean, like for everybody in our panel up there watching, and you just, I was looking down at the scouts and everyone was drooling over the guy. I'd never seen a 17-year-old kid play like that. And now you got this kid this year where there wasn't really the fanfare coming into the tournament, Razor, where, you know, you know about Celebrini as the guy that's most likely going number one. And now I kind of definitely think he is going number one, but he had a game the other day, and mind you, it was Latvia. Okay. He got 5 points, but man, this guy's good. It's not the Bedard razzle and dazzle where he toe drags and then rips the crossbar off of the net and the goaltender's lying on the ground. But I'll tell you what, he's got some Sidney Crosby kind of Jonathan Toews tendencies where it's like this guy's a working star. He works for his ice. He's a great skater. He's an unbelievable skater through the neutral zone. And I describe it as that 1A type centerman where it's like a number one centerman. And you were like this, Ray, when you played center ice. It's like the 30-foot pass, it was always on the tape. That pass through traffic, he kind of always made it. He just, everything is kind of automatic. And that's the signal that this guy is going to be a stud. What I'd like to see today is kind of that superstar selfishness where he says, this is about our team. This is about building towards the medal. But the great players, man, they're kind of selfish in the proper way where it's like, I'm going to take control of the situation here and I'm going to be the main reason. It's like they're not doing it hogging the puck selfishness. It's almost like their subconscious takes over and it's like, I'm going to be the best player on the ice and the reason why we win these big games. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing today.
And just as you said that, you were just talking about Bedard, like how hard that must be for a 17-year-old kid because he is the youngest kid on the team. And There is an age thing that you feel like, but Bedard did it, and Macklin's he's a terrific kid, and another Vancouverite. So we've seen him play since he was a little guy, and and his there'll be a lot of stories about his dad, who is a pretty remarkable trainer in his field. Works with the Golden State Warriors right now, but that niceness can only go so far if you're going to the next stage, right? Like you got to have a little bit of the juice to, and we'll see today. And it's really another cool part, I guess, of what you're doing.
Yeah. And you just hope guys like Patra and Minton and maybe Cowan, you hope there's some of that internal competition, not where they're jealous and they're like, oh, I want to, I'm kind of tired of everyone talking about Celebrini. You just hope that some of them are saying, I want this to be my day. I want to steal some headlines here where, I can have that game. Because two things can happen. He can take control of the tournament and be the guy like Bedard did last year. Or they're going to need a Minton game. Or they're going to need a Patra game. Good. Or they're going to need an Easton Cowan or someone else or a Geeky to step up and have that game. I kind of like the chances of Celebrini doing it and being the guy, but if it doesn't happen, you're going to need other guys to step up and have those kind of statement games.
Well, we're looking forward to all the coverage on TSN of the World Juniors. Why don't we shift over to the NHL before we let you go? And on Overdrive, I mean, you're on a bit of a hiatus now, but you literally spend hours a week talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So as we're having this conversation going into 2024, they're 13th in the league. They're 7th in the conference. So when you look at the Leafs, what do you see as this team's top priority going into the new year?
You know what, Dregs? I don't know if it's a priority, but it's just something that caught my eye on Twitter. Somebody was commenting, and it was after the loss to the Ottawa Senators, but the comment was, and I forget who said it, but it was somebody that got my attention. It was about the maturity in the Leafs game. And I found that somewhat surprising that something like that would even be coming up at this particular point of this group's kind of tenure in the league. Yeah. I mean, after a couple years in, Shanny talked about some killer instinct. I didn't think that kind of killer instinct and maturity would be brought up at this particular point. But it's kind of what they are right now, where at the start of that Ottawa game, I thought to myself, this is kind of the best I've seen them look. They look dialed in. Austin Matthews is on point. He's on a heater right now. And then they just go through a stretch where it's like, man, what was that? It's like, that shouldn't really be happening right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just the Christmas break and they go into Columbus and get it done against them. But I think just for overall consistency, and just Ray always said it when we were doing the games, like, it's time to put the big boy pants on and, like, let's start making a move here. And if you do make a transaction and pick up a D, that you're kind of in motion and things can just continue towards the playoffs. But you're seeing it around the league. The inconsistencies from a lot of teams where it's like one night they're world beaters and then the next night they can't do anything right. And it's almost like everybody I talk to in hockey, the one thing that's common, that, like, it's a common thread, is it's like everybody in the league, whether you're defenseman, forward, everybody thinks they're a 30-goal scorer. It's like the idea of accepting a role where it's like your role is to get in the corner and muck it up in there and cause some momentum. I mean, we had Todd McClellan on Overdrive, and he's like, a lot of, you know, there's not really like that designated line where it's like you're going out there to grind it down. It's like everybody thinks they're a 30-goal scorer.
You know, hey, as you're talking about that, I got this thought of, like, and for me, it came over the last week, is thinking about what teams might add, because we're getting in now past the freeze where guys like Dregs will be babbling all the time about this stuff. Is like, over the last couple of years, the Leafs have tried to, at the deadline, get bigger and add a little toughness and a little grind, but I don't know that you can add enough of it. So I wonder if there's a thought of, why don't we go with what we have? Like, add another puck-moving defenseman. Like, you can only add one tough stay-at-home guy. You can't add four of them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, does it make any sense to go, look, we can't balance this roster the way we'd probably like to. Let's just try. We're going to have to try and outscore people.
Ray, like, what about their top players approaching the playoffs a little differently than they have in the past? It's like, if they haven't understood that it's been 6-7 years of giving this a shot, just going out there and saying, okay, maybe we can just be better than the other team. If they haven't understood that that doesn't work because they've won one round in all those years, and to be honest with you, who's to say it's going to change this year? Like, are they going to completely flip the switch and say our approach is different this year? Who knows? That remains to be seen.
All right, buddy. We're going to let you go here quick. A couple of things, though. Two big golf fans in Ray Ferraro and Jeff O'Neill. John Rahm joins LIV. What was the first thing that came to mind, though, when you read that?
The first thing that came to my mind, if somebody flashed 300 sheets in front of my face, I'd be gone out of this building. I'd be squealing my tires out of here.
Especially now when they're like, oh, yeah, and you're exempt. You're in every major anyway.
So that's all they care about now. I will tell you one thing. I wonder what, like, there was supposed to be this merger that apparently it seems to be gone up in smoke. Like, I wonder what some of these events are going to look like if they're not these marquee events on tour. I mean, they might have the three of us out there wheeling around playing because I don't know who the hell is going to play in them. But if somebody offers you $300 million, I love people that comment on it. Oh, you're selfish. You're this and that. $300 million when you've already probably got $100 in the bank and you've won two majors. He's like, I'm just going to try to pick off three or four more majors. I could care less what I do on LIV, which is nonsense to watch anyway. So $300 million. But I do wonder what a guy like Dustin Johnson's going to say. He's like, you gave him $300, you only gave me $125. Why don't you top me up a little bit too?
Well, I think he's probably okay. What do you think, eh?
Yeah.
What did he get, 150 or something?
125.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
By the way, Ray, and this is why you subscribe to the YouTube channel, because we're getting a close personal look at the world of O-Dog just outside Studio 6. That's the dressing room, and that's the hanger of clothes behind him. So this is.
I just want to show you guys quickly before I get out of here. I did an excellent job of cleaning up yesterday.
Okay.
If you look down on the floor, there's a bunch of ties. There's. It's disgusting in here, but it's. It's kind of controlled chaos. And Dregs, you know, we had an incident a couple weeks ago where some people were moving things around in here. So I think I'm starting to get that straightened out.
I will say this. So one of my favorite things that happened before, the first guy to get a dressing room, of course, was Duthie.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, Duthie needed his thing. He's the biggest slob of anybody I've ever been around. So I went in there and I tied about 14 of his suit jacket sleeves in a knot, the ones that are closest to the wall, because you know that knucklehead was in there and he's like, oh, my jacket, no good. And he got another one. It's a pigsty in there. I think yours looks actually okay. I'm quite impressed.
I might get some workers in here because the one thing mine had doesn't have that Duthie's has is a toilet. So I'm going to get a toilet in here.
Just go use his. He's never locked the door anyway.
I did not want that.
No. All right, O. Thanks for doing this, buddy, and good luck. Enjoy the rest of the World Junior Championship.
All right, great seeing both of you guys, and Happy New Year. See ya.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, Jeff.
All right, Jeff O'Neill and the TSN panel doing a stellar job covering the World Junior Hockey Championship from Studio 6. You've got the cast over in Sweden, and you can just tell, I mean, you were part of it, right? International hockey, whether you're there or you're in studio, I'm not saying you feel a connection to the team, but it does give you that familiarity of the holiday season. And for me, that's always been what the World Junior Hockey Championship is, why it's so attractive, right? Because it's part of the Christmas season. So, embrace it, tell some stories, have some fun, and he's not afraid to crack the whip when he needs to crack the whip either.
Well, yeah, maybe he should get a cleaning person in that bloody dressing room. Just think, he told us he cleaned that up.
You've been in there though, man. I mean, for anyone following on YouTube, you got a glimpse of it. And okay, it's his cell phone, so I'm not sure how clear the video is. It's like a tornado went through this clothing store. And we're not talking about $50 ties that are knotted up and balled up on the floor here. He fancies himself as a clothes horse. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know, man. Like you talked about Duthie's dressing room. O's, in fact, is worse. It's worse.
He needs a handler. He really does.
He's in a contract year, so maybe that can be negotiated in.
There you go. You could get in the agency business now.
Yes, yes, yes. But he does kind of have that knack, though, doesn't he? You know, not just to analyze, but analyzing in a colorful, in a conversational way that, you know, that it bugs him when we go on location. And we were just on location. We did the Hall of Fame game, obviously, Calgary and Toronto, in Toronto. And then more recently, we're in Ottawa. And the fans just glom on O-Dog because he just, you know, he's kind of a blue-collar dude. It's just constant, O-Dog!
Well, I've been asked, I can't even tell you how many times that people mention, oh, you know, I love you when you're on Overdrive and all that stuff. Yeah. And how much fun I have on that show. And inevitably somebody says, what's O'Neill like? And I'm like, he is exactly what you see.
Yeah,
he is. Exactly. And I think that is one of the reasons he's so good at what he does, is that there is no character on TV. I mean, like that's just the way he is. And, you know, there he is holding his cell phone in a dressing room that looks like a grenade went off behind him. He doesn't care. And he's got a fun way of saying things. He's like when I would go into studio and I'd always sit beside him, I was thoroughly entertained, aside from what we got on the air. The 3 hours in the studio was thoroughly entertaining. He's a good guy to be around. He really is, and he's an excellent analyst.
There's that infamous clip, right? Is there ketchup on that? You guys are doing live TV. It's Trade Center. There's like every mic is live.
And it's not like they just turned ours off one time. Like it's never off. It's so, like, anyway, it was, is there ketchup on that? It was classic.
All right, buddy. How are you ringing in the new year? Hockey, soccer, all of the above?
I'll tell a little tale here that I had a great sleep going. My phone rings. It's Ryan Rashog saying, hey, buddy, how you doing? I'm like, well, not very effing good if I'm talking to you dead out of sleep. So I'm a little bit behind for the day here.
Okay. Right? All right.
But
yeah.
Gonna wrap this up. I'm going to get on a plane and fly to Trail, where my oldest son, Matt, and his wife, Manroop, have moved. And Enzo and Aria are getting baptized tomorrow.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm flying up. I'm going to see a whole bunch of people for today and tomorrow, and then come back on the 31st for New Year's Eve. Riley's will be 17 by that point. It's been a busy week. So Riley will be 17. Enzo and Aria are going to get baptized. Luca showed up on the scene. I'm going to go see him upstairs here. And
nice.
And then, man, it'll be 2024. Can you believe it? Crazy.
Who's organizing all of this for you? Is Cammy on top of it? Well,
no.
I mean, just everything.
No. This is the one thing that I think I'm organized in. But if anybody throws a wrench into it, it's a catastrophe. I have to go from A to B. There's no B plus. That's A, B, C, D. It needs to move like that for me.
Well,
you know that, Drake.
I do know that, but a new grandson on Christmas Eve is a wrench like that.
That was the happiest of wrenches there is.
That's fantastic.
I'm looking forward to seeing him again today. What about yourself? What do you got for
relatively quiet, my friend? Yep. I am couch bound. I'm going to watch a lot of the World Junior Championship.
Yep.
You know, there'll be NHL news that percolates now that the roster freeze has been lifted. There'll be some news in the days ahead, not imminently, but there'll be some news. So I'm kind of feeling like I'm back in work mode again. And
sure.
I feel like celebrating New Year's and New Year's Eve is for kids. Right? Like, I mean, I don't know. If you're with family and you pop the bottle of champagne and you cheers at midnight, okay, I get it. But long gone are the days where I'm going to house parties or, you know, kind of New Year's
celebrations. I will
celebrations
say one thing that I miss / don't miss about being at the World Junior is January 1st is a dark day at the tournament.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve never goes short. The tech people that are there for 2 weeks, they have been working as you've seen it, Drake. Oh man, they have been working like 16 hours a day for 2 weeks in like crappy conditions. You know, they're always under the stands and doing all this stuff. There will be a few beverages consumed there. So good for them.
Good for them. Well, safe travels to you and your family to Trail. Congratulations to Landon, to Emily, to all the family, and all the best in 2024, my friend.
Yeah, thanks. Same to you, Dregs. And thank you for everybody that listened and watched and viewed and streamed and all that in 2023. Thank you very much. We look forward to catching you early in 24.
You bet. And thank you to our sponsors who support Ray and Dregs and make the podcast possible. Our title sponsor, Canadian Club Whiskey, and Tim Hortons. Until next time, stay safe. Happy New Year, everyone.